Okay, so it's recording now.
All right. So, once again,
go ahead, start with number one.
My name is Jake. I'm with Mr. Jason Pemberis. Do you have any questions before we begin?
No, go ahead. I'm more than willing.
So what is it that you do for a living?
That's a real good question. Right now, I'm making custom home arcades, but I'm a network engineer. I work on houses. I build cars, build computers. I mean, I do, you know, quite a few different things, but at this time, I'm building custom home arcades. I also do have a really good profession with home security and camera system surveillance.
What do you enjoy doing here in your spare time?
Well, you know, from our many conversations, you know, I don't really have a lot of spare time. This is a hobby that got out of control, and I'm trying to make a living off of it. But, you know, I have a pretty good product, and this is seasonal. But using my hands and using my mind is one of the things that makes me happy. You know, being able to get things that, you know, come up with an idea, building it, producing it, you know, and I have everything I need here in my warehouse. I'm a very lucky person.
So what was your original inspiration for starting this arcade business?
Well, somebody telling me that I couldn't do that. And that's something my whole life, whenever somebody says I can't do something, it's always started something. When I came up with the idea for the largest video game in the world, it really started from seeing the old world record, which was really not much. And then a movie company made it for $250,000 for a TV show. I'm like, you know, I can do something better than that. There's so much bad news on the TV. I'm like, man, they don't show anything that makes people smile. I can make something that can make people smile. I can make something that makes you feel like a little kid again. And those were all my motivation behind it. Being told not to do that, I couldn't do it. I can't do it. And then, you know, for the last couple of years, America hasn't been at its best. And I thought it would be kind of neat to make something that made people smile.
All right.
So moving on. So the first game you ever played, you told me it was Sea Devil.
Yeah, so the Sea Devil submarine game. I was too short to play it. It was in the 7-Eleven that everybody was hanging out playing video games. I bought it the second I can find one. It's a real rare one. But I have lots of other favorites, like Robotron is one of my personal favorites. Tron. You know, those are some of the video games I can still sit down and play nowadays.
And your inspiration for making a big game came from when you were too little to play the Sea Devil, is what you told me.
And now everybody's too little to play the largest video game in the world. So they know what I felt. So, wow, I don't think anyone ever asked me that question. Out of all the interviews I've done, that's a good one. Now everyone's too small to play, and I'm getting some kind of a weird satisfaction from it.
So how would a really small child now feel playing this gigantic game?
Well,
that would be just larger than life.
Right. I mean, they can basically get inside of it almost, but, you know, I do have stairs you can stand on for the younger kids, and that's another good question. I guess if you're under 3 feet tall, you can't play.
There's no way you can play.
Well, you could. Someone would have to hold you up, or an adult would have to, but even with a regular video game, if you're under 3 foot tall, I have chairs for that, you know, so kids can sit up and play these things, because you can see basically anybody can even play these sitting on here.
I mean, there's still your arm span for the big game.
Yeah, you and I can barely play the big game, but it's still playable.
And that's a two-player game,
correct?
Right? And then there's also games where you can use all, what is it? 12 red buttons
yes.
on there. And there's games where you could use
dual joysticks.
One player game for
right.
Okay. Interesting. How long did it take you to build? It
took about 2 years to build the largest arcade machine.
2 years to build the whole thing.
And we nicknamed it the Lamp.
The Lamp?
Yeah, largest arcade machine project.
Not because it looks like a lamp when it's fully right. lit.
That too, that's another interesting. I like that. It's three things I got from you so far. That's good.
Well, going for try number two. Probably makes for a better interview. I can see you're a big fan of arcade games. Right, so what kind of games do you have on the biggest arcade game?
I have them all. I mean, it's multiple console. You can put in an Xbox, a PlayStation. It runs off a computer real good. In the last 10 years, basically everyone's come out with their own greatest hits. And they've made it available for PC, PlayStation, or Xbox.
And you have a desktop computer running inside.
Well, it's a little bit more than a desktop. It all has a high-end video card, which is NVIDIA. It all has a dual-core processor. I mean, it's a little bit more of a beefy computer to play the beefier games.
And all the controls, they're wired into each game specifically?
Well, it's all off a USB, but 10 years ago, we used to plug it into the keyboard directly and wire it into a keyboard so each one of the letters would go to a button. But now through USB technology, it works through PlayStation 2, and, you know, that universal serial bus is a big thing.
So you're essentially replacing a keyboard with all these oversized buttons.
Correct.
What were some of the custom pieces that you had to get specially made, specially ordered for the arcade game?
The hardest part was, you know, making the coin door, because it all had to be oversized. Mm-hmm. Coins being oversized was a real tough one. And, you know, one of the secrets of it was I found a large coin, and then I made the whole video game around it. The trackball was real difficult, having a bowling ball company cut it out of a big giant piece of glass. But between the trackball and the coin door, that took up 80% of the time.
Were there any other challenges you faced when building this machine?
Well, when you're building something that's over 1,000 pounds and over 14 feet tall, yeah, that is, I had some limitations. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. But I had some problems erecting it, and thank God, working on houses, that kind of showed me how to build things a little bit better over the years. So.
Now, how did you get to where you are now? You said you went to college, you got your degree, and then after that, did you go straight into what you're doing now, or?
I did it the worst possible way. It was all self-taught. I bought the saw, I bought the wood, I cut it. I mean, I should have paid attention in wood shop class. I've always been someone that got by on a D-. School never had anything that I was interested in. Everything I wanted to do, I learned hands-on. Now in my old age, I'm willing to go to a class to learn stuff. I don't have the, I still have the drive. I mean, I just built this a couple years ago, and you can see the things that are surrounding you right now, but there could be a quicker way now. I think right now the maturity is really kicking in.
So how long did it take you before you built your first arcade machine?
Oh, if I showed you my first arcade machine, it wasn't even an arcade machine. It was just a monitor and a box with a mouse sitting on the side. I actually have pictures. I could send you one. But the ones you're seeing now, I mean, they weren't this pretty 10 years ago. I have a whole bunch of different things I'm showing them right now that no one else has really seen. So you're going to have to try to explain stuff to people that were like, what do you mean it has a subwoofer in it? What do you mean it lit up? What do you mean the trackball was oversized? You know, I'm showing him a lot of different things right now that Jake's...
I mean, it's an intense experience. I mean, there's lights, sound. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like Do you ever put it up to full volume?
No. And especially with the largest video game in the world, that's 250 watts. I really went all out on the sound system on that. The largest game in the world had to have the largest sound system in the world, too. The bass is a little crazy because, you know, that's pretty loud.
Does it make the cabinet vibrate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole cabinet, when you build a cabinet around a subwoofer, I mean, that's you know, I learned a lot about music and sound. I never knew this stuff before. Thank God for Google, you know. They tell you just about everything.
Did your college experience help you out in any way with your business?
I actually went to school to become a teacher. And I taught space science. I did a lot of different things that, you know, they weren't really neat subjects. You know, if I really wanted to teach, you know, stuff like this, I don't even know if there's a class that can teach you the stuff I'm showing you right now.
Building arcade machines?
Yeah. It might be coming. We might be laughing now, but I never thought I'd make it this far as it is. So.
Do you think your arcade games might become, like, is that like your legacy? Maybe like in 100 years, are people going to be like...
Oh, no. Yeah, people won't be using this stuff. This is definitely primitive, and I just put a new spin on some old technology, that's it. You know, I'm not making a talking car or a talking house or like we were talking about Tesla self-driving cars. You know, I'm just somebody that took an old idea and polished it up.
So what's your target audience for the machines?
Target audience is everybody, young and old, everyone to experience the classics and even play the newer games. You know, this is one product for everybody. So I think I got really lucky on that too. From a marketing point of view, you don't understand. I have something that people like and that people are interested in. It's for all ages. I mean, and I'm the only one making stuff like this. There's other people that are doing some homegrowns, but you can't tell me that they do all the things that I'm doing. It's pretty neat.
Your idea is to bring people together when you're trying to
bring
put this
people
in
together
someone's...
and have some fun. It's an old concept, but I like it.
And these games are not, they're not meant for commercial use. They don't actually require quarters.
You can make anything for commercial use, but this is more for nostalgic, for people that were my age that grew up in the 80s, and we had to pump quarters in this thing to keep it going. You know.
Do you display your games anywhere for other people?
I do a couple shows here and there, but I really think that we're finally at the beginning stages where these things can start going into everybody's home. And I'm trying to talk to Dell, HP, you know, any kind of computer manufacturer can easily pump these things out.
Do you have one yourself at home?
No. When you're around video games all day and all night and building them, last thing I want to do is go home and see one. That was one of the things that I started noticing, like, get that thing out of my house.
Do you have any kids that might enjoy?
I've got four daughters that I don't think they could care less about video games. You know, this is, I guess when you grow up around them, it's no big deal. Mm. You know, they probably get sick and tired of hearing about it. Dad, you broke the world record. Oh my God, everyone's going to know now. You know.
Have you ever brought them into the shop?
Oh yeah. When you grow up around this stuff, this is no big deal. You know, it's like growing up next to Disneyland. You're like, yeah, Disneyland's right over here. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
So what does a typical day look like around the shop?
Oh, yeah, a typical day. There are no typical days. Trying to recreate something, trying to come up with a design, trying to cut something. Everything takes a minimum of 20 hours to start. There's no I'm going to go to the office and work for an hour or two. No, you got to know what you want to do. You got to make sure all the materials are here. And I started noticing that everything's a minimum of 20 hours to start. And then you always have to have a stopping. If not, you'll do what I did. And 3 days later, your wife's calling, going, when are you coming home? I almost got it built. Just give me, I'm on my way, you know.
So you're able to sit here for 3 days at a time.
Well, you see my shop. It's not a traditional shop.
Right.
You know, I've got a living room in the main office. I have all the splendor. You know, I even put I got a jacuzzi tub, sauna, and a steam room if I have to take showers. But it's the ultimate man cave. You know, and it's kind of neat. I mean, I can work on cars in here. I can build stuff for the home. I'm a very lucky man.
So I see you're all stocked up with tools and pieces. Do you have every piece necessary to make another arcade game?
Oh, yeah. Every time I build something, if you build one or you build five, it takes the same amount of time. If that makes sense.
You said about 20-ish hours?
Well, I know that building one game will take me about 14 hours to build. By the time I'm done making the control panel and putting all the buttons and all the wires on. But if I were to do all those, mass produce them, mm-hmm. You're just adding on a couple extra hours. Because by the time you do five things, I mean, that just shows you the wiring on the bottom.
That's something you take apart?
Well, this is something that I've redone 100 times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have a nice little display of how to put these all on. I mean, I have prettier ones than this. But I just keep a couple of the older ones out so that I can make newer versions. You know, I'm sure there's a better way of doing all this. I just know what works for me. I mean, I made everything color coordinated, so I remember the wiring. And it all goes the color of the rainbow with Roy G. Biv, which is red, green, you know. And then when you point the button up, well, what color is up? Blue for the sky. Down is going to be green for the ground. Right is the lights on the right, so it's yellow. You know, that's how I memorize all the buttons. So, you know, the green and the white wire is coin. You know,
is for the coins.
Well, it's a fake coin door, but you know, I just everything follows a certain pattern.
So everything's all neat and organized.
Well, it is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just build one, it's no big deal, but you can see I have color wire for everything.
How many cabinets have you made so far?
Well, I have it where I've sold over 577 to customers. But I know I've made a lot more than that, especially with the ones in the room right now. They're not numbered. Mm-hmm. And, my biggest thing is... you know, I had over 40 video games. And they just kept on stocking up in here. You know, and I got rid of all those, and they actually went to an actual arcade, and they're using them now.
Like, you had 40...
Oh, I had Pac-Mans. I had a lot of the originals. And what's the use of them sitting in this warehouse? You know, except for the submarine game. Oh, that one I'll hold on to.
That's the first game you ever played.
And there's only two of them working in the world. I'll plug that one in for you, too.
Is one of those two this one?
Yeah. I mean, this machine is 1967. I mean, that's older than both of us. I mean, this thing's going to be 50 years old soon. Is that kind of crazy?
That is pretty intense.
That doesn't even look... Now, let me... when I plug this in, I have to be real careful because this thing really gives off a jolt. I mean, like, it's got the old plug.
No ground?
No ground. So when I plug this thing in, oh, it's okay to worry about. And that's another thing, too, when you build these machines, you have to be real careful that they don't, you know, there is a little bit of gravity involved, and you can see that those won't tilt. But go ahead for your next question.
What is your favorite game that you play?
Tron. Tron is one of my favorites. And Robotron is definitely one of my favorite games. And then anything with a trackball.
Anything with a trackball.
Yeah, because those are really hard games to simulate.
Okay, you ready?
Definitely. Can't wait to see this.
Yeah, and you're just going to laugh because a lot of people just don't know. Because 2 years later, they made it all electronic. Okay, so we're plugged in there. And there shouldn't be that big of a spark. Ready? Here we go. Is that crazy? And they even have the little...
Oh, man.
Now, you see how much this would suck if you're this tall and you just hear all these noises? And you can't see what's going on? And the guy told me that that's already gone around a couple times. Over 328,000 people have played this. You know. There you go. See, and basically you go like this, and then you shoot. You see that? Here we go. Oh. Can you see the ships behind there?
I do. That's an angled mirror, right?
Yep.
And where is that whole platform? Is that down?
Yep.
Down here?
I want to get. I mean, because right now, just to get that light to work.
Are you only hitting the ships in the background?
Yeah. And it needs to warm up a little bit for you to see all the light.
You got one.
Yeah, sure. Isn't that crazy? Pretty neat. And it's in really good condition for 50 years old. A lot of them don't even have the stuff on the side because they've been repainted.
I could definitely see how you played this all day.
You didn't really have to do much either, huh? Pretty cool, huh?
So how did you come to getting the Guinness World Record?
They weren't nice people. They're not from our country. They have a different way of doing things. And, you know, I really had to argue with them to be in the book. I actually declined being on the book when they first interviewed me.
Why did you decline?
They did not... They just said, okay, well, is it 14 feet tall? Okay, that's good. And I said, well, don't you want to know everything else? And they're like, no. You know, they need to come up with more records that are neater and neater. Mm-hmm. And then after I told them, well, you know, I want you to tell you about the trackball and the buttons and the coin door. And they're like, it's all right. Don't worry about that. I'm like, I really think it's important when making a world record that you have the very specifics. I said, you know what? I'm not 8 years old and my parents. I don't need to do this. So I passed them up. And then finally they called me up 2 years later and they said, listen, what can we do to get you in that world record in the book? I go, just gotta listen. I'm a real nice guy. You can ask my mom. And they were they listened. They were wrong about a lot of stuff, but, you know, most of the stuff was right. I mean, I lost 2 years. I wasn't, you know, they said I was single and I was married. And I was 2 years younger, so they missed out on a lot of important facts. But they did get most of the stuff in there.
So did you get any like feedback from when they put your arcade into the Guinness World Record book?
Oh, they really went nuts in Europe. I mean, I had a lot of people calling from Europe. You know, and I'm like, how'd you get my number? How'd you get, you know? And, you know, and like when they do a release in Europe, it's a lot bigger because they're out there. Out here in the United States, you know, I was on a lot of websites. I had a lot of people look at my record. I mean, I was in the Inquirer. I was on Yahoo News. I mean, it was pretty neat.
So you got a little bit of fame.
Well, being on WGN News out here, I got more. And that was pretty neat, being on the morning news. I'll send you the link for that, too.
So that was live?
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun.
How long ago was that?
They published a record about a year ago. Mm-hmm. They didn't even tell me. They put me in the world record book for this year, too.
So it's still the world's largest. Are there any competitors? Anybody trying to beat your record as far as you know?
Anybody comes up, I'll help them. But it's going to be really hard getting that trackball and getting all the rest of those things. And remember, I was only one person.
Right. So if someone were to try to make a bigger one and you said you were willing to help them to make a bigger one, what kind of, would there be any other improvements to that game?
I am going to go back and you'll be able to see all the improvements hopefully in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to try to make that one a little more portable so we can take it to places so actually the world can come and see it. Because I don't want them here. This is like coming to Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want people here.
You don't want people seeing what your next projects are.
Well, that, and then, you know, that was the thing I was going to say to you, that, you know, by people the steal my ideas, that's a compliment to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought I had ideas that were worth stealing, but I'm more and more people go to my website to get ideas, which is kind of neat.
Do you ever get any new ideas from your customers?
Believe it or not, you know, these games weren't that pretty 10 years ago. And a lot of my improvements are from the customers. Saying that they can't fit it in their house. How come it's not loud? How come it doesn't light up? How come I can't play this game? How come I can't put pinball? You know, all in due time, everything comes out. You know, that's one of the greatest things about computers and handhelds, you know.
So through the negative feedback, you were able to see how other people viewed it, see how to improve
on it. I mean, there's good criticism, there's bad criticism. I mean, I think I'm at a point now where these things aren't going to get any prettier.
So this is as good as they're going to get.
Well, I said that last year, and then I made these. So, you know, don't hold me to that one. There's always room for improvement.
Always room for improvement. I noticed you had what you like to call it, dragon skin.
Yes.
On some of these.
I've never seen anybody skin one of these video games.
Where did you get the idea from?
I just found an old furniture company that made this wrap, and I just put the two together, and I'm like, you know, it took me a long time to be able to stick that stuff on there. But now, that stuff's almost, I mean, you can feel the top. You can't get that stuff off. They really made a great thing.
That's glued on there for good.
Yeah. And that's another reason why I don't like to do that. Really, you got to spend like a week just gluing the material. Let it dry. Then cut out the designs. And then you get either that or like that other thing I showed you, the Blue Venom.
Have you tried experimenting with other covers?
I think I've made one of everything, and
that's it.
Yeah, you only can do so much.
Just a simple
reinventing the wheel every other week. It's a little boring. Put spokes. You can make them light up. But we'll see. Like I said, every once in a while, when I get bored, that's when something cool comes out.
Do you make any other additions for your cabinets, like maybe a chair or a different set of controls?
We're getting there.
Getting there?
Yeah.
Like light guns or something?
Well,
the
light guns are very sensitive. They need to be, you know, parallel to the floor. If not, you're going to get a ricochet mode and they don't pick up the screens. And you can use a trackball and a fire button and do the same thing.
Okay. I guess backtracking a little bit. How did having a Guinness World Record impact your life?
Really hasn't really taken full effect. It hasn't really done much, except for when a little kid will come up to me and go, "I know you," you know. And that's when it does take effect. It's kind of neat. They ask a lot of questions. They, you know, it's kind of getting caught up in the moment. But that's when it affects me a little bit.
was your business affected by the
Well, that was the whole thing. You know, I was hoping that it would really take this to the next level, and it would now make the world aware that, you know, I make video games.
And that's what you're trying to do with the portable one.
Well, it's kind of neat to be able to make money doing something that people enjoy. Not a lot of people get to do that. But as long as it pays the bills, I can see me doing this for the rest of my life. The most fun I have is when someone comes up with a real crazy idea and I have to build it.
So you like getting creative?
Yes. With these things. You can see, I got a lot of creativity.
New problems, new solutions.
Right.
Do you believe video games are a good influence on the community?
I'll tell you what, I think they're a great influence. There's a lot of positive impact on this, that kids are growing up with. There's not as much midlife crisis anymore. I don't know if you hear about that.
I've heard of it.
When you go into a room and you kill 1,000 zombies and then you go home and eat dinner, you have some kind of, you're content. Or you jump in a car and go 200 miles an hour in a video game. You don't have that urge to go out and do something crazy, because now you're able to kind of do it controlled. But just like with video games, with everything else in the world, you know, you have to do it where it's balanced. When you sit and play a video game for 18 hours straight, that's not balance. You're digging into the other part of your life. You have to have it just be, you know, just enough. You know, you don't want to let it overwhelm you. And that's where it's getting out of hand, where people play too much games. You know, it's all in moderation. That's the word. Drinking, eating, sleeping, playing video games, they all have to be in moderation.
I'm trying to think of a better word. I'm glad you brought that up. It's how you mentioned how playing video games, you kind of get like your fill on that excitement. What about games like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto?
Well, now you're really going into a different area that most of us wouldn't go, and you're using parts of your brain you'd never have to use without the repercussions of actually getting shot or killed.
Do you think that might have gotten some people to... Someone who might have never done that before started playing Grand Theft Auto, and now...
You know what? I think that... No. You're looking at the extremes. You know, it's like someone saying that someone took a pen and stuck up their nose and they died. I'm sure people have done that. But... the general population, it's less than 1% of 1%. So when you hear about these cuckoos that go shoot people because they play Call of Duty, I mean, they could have never played Call of Duty and gone out and shoot somebody, and someone said, oh, they played Call of Duty, so that's why they did it. We need to ban that from everybody. It's just all numbers. You know what I mean? Out of 15 million people, there were two people that shot people, and they both happened to have Call of Duty, you know?
Yeah, when you work by yourself, it's just kind of neat to have somebody, you know, else.
Yeah, other
chase or play around.
Other beings.
This is the guy that attacks that dragon all the time.
Yeah.
Not find the dragon, drag back somewhere, you know. He used to hate being held. Go ahead.
All right.
You're so good when other people are around. When people aren't around, you're the little devil. Boy, family, do you?
Have you ever thought about quitting your project while in the middle of making it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You know, and that's the biggest challenge, is when you actually just go, you know, and then you leave, and then you come back and go, I'm going to try it. I mean, I've tried making a lot of things, and I mean, if I would have made it in my first try, it would have been no fun. But you know, 2 years to make that, I can make one in 5 days now.
What kept you going despite all the challenges?
You know what that is? You know what? It's your fourth awesome question. I'm stubborn. I am, you can ask my wife, I am so stubborn that I think that's the only thing that's gotten me through some of these big things. Especially if someone tells me you can't do it, oh my God, I'm going to try three times
as hard.
You're
going to prove them wrong.
Yeah. Jake, this might be one of the best interviews I've ever had.
I'm glad, I mean, despite having to start over.
Yeah, no problem.
But I'm glad this one's going a bit better. So how do you feel playing your own creation?
I've never played it until people came here to interview me. Mm-hmm. I more or less like to watch other people play it. But the one thing is that when you do play it, I do feel like a little kid again. I feel like a little kid if you just barely see over the dashboard of the video game. It does make you feel like a little kid again. It's pretty neat. And it worked on me, too.
Do you play other video games?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The only time that I play video games is if I'm at a show and it, you know, mm-hmm. or if I'm at a customer, show them how to play. When you do it for a living, you don't, it takes a little bit of the fun away. The only time I have more fun is when the customer or someone asks me questions like yourself. It brings the fun back real quick.
What was the... Do you have any games at home when you were younger?
Yeah, we grew up with all the consoles. I mean, I even in college I had the Nintendo 64. But I had the Atari, I had the Pong, I had the Intellivision. I had one of every one. You know.
And you got them right as they came out? You went to
We screamed and, you know, and then we'd play them just as much as the kids do nowadays. And like I said, it was pretty boring back then because you'd see a circle. There was red, and that's you, and then the blue square was a dragon, and you had to make them touch. And it was, I don't know how we got by playing those games. Or playing Pong. Who the heck could play Pong for 8 hours? You know, that's pretty boring.
I mean, when it's top-of-the-line technology.
I guess.
Then.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think what other games we played that were just so boring. And then I took a little bit of a break when computers first came out, but then I dove in. I mean, I've been building computers for 25 years. You know, I really got into it right when Windows came out for the first time. And that's another thing that helps me out because these are all PC-based. You know, I put a real high-end computer on the inside. And they're not $2,000. I mean, you can pick up all the parts for your own PC for under $500.
For the PC that's in one of these games, right? Would you say you started making these games, or do you make these games more because of like the video game aspect, or more of like an engineering aspect?
It's definitely something that I can put in my creativity and get a huge reward out of it after I'm done. I mean, it's a lot of fun reinventing, you know, how these games are, make them a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller. But, you know, the one thing you're not seeing is all the mistakes.
Would you attend Comic-Con if it wasn't for these games that you're trying to present to other people?
Well, it's kind of neat being on the other side of having a booth that's supposed to be walking around. I still go to a couple of them every once in a while. But, like in Chicago, they're so used to me seeing me at the Comic-Cons, I don't do those anymore. I just did San Antonio. I just did Baltimore. You know, I'm finally starting to get around now with everybody knowing the largest video game. It's opened a lot of doors for me.
And you take one of these games with you?
Oh, I take them all. These are
all of them?
Yeah.
How many cabinets is that that you take?
I take about four or five.
Four or five?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you pack them onto a truck.
Well, I have a pickup truck, and then what else do I got? I got a little trailer that I built that I take everything in. So everything that fits in the trailer is what I take with me on the road. I'll show you a picture of the trailer later.
Have you Have you gotten any injuries making this game?
Yes. I cut off the top of my finger. I put lots of screws in my hands. I really respected the tools. I really wish I would have paid attention in wood shop. Everything I've self-learned or self-hurt. Really, you got to really pay attention when you have saws and drills. And when you drill as many holes as I do into things, Wow, I'm not surprised. I mean, I drilled right into my hand. I mean, I got so many cuts on my fingers. Now I just go really nice and slow and take my time. So.
And all the magic happens here.
Yep.
Everything.
Everything's been built here. I mean, I've got a 800 square foot warehouse that goes up 15 feet tall.
Is the saw inside here, or do you use the saw outside?
No, I try to, everything I have on here, I don't know if you notice, is on wheels almost. Mm-hmm. So I can wheel everything outside and cut. It gets really dusty, and what I'll do is twice a year, I'll just close everything up in here, and I'll grab the leaf blower, and I'll blow the whole place out.
Do you ever take vacations, breaks?
Yeah, we won't talk about that. My wife's not too happy. Every vacation we take is going to a show, and I promised her more. I need to start. You know, 7 days a week I work. I usually take off January's because nothing's going on. But even then is when the Consumer Electronics Show is. There's always something going on. But we're getting there. Sooner or later, this is going to be the next step where I just sell this idea to somebody who's going to mass produce it.
So you're just that busy with all your orders?
Well, and protecting the world with the surveillance company in the off-season.
So that's another thing you do on the on the side?
Yeah. Everything's on the side. Master of nothing, jack of many trades.
That's something I'd love to do. I don't know. Just sidetracking.
Yeah.
So do any people come here to play your game?
Just a couple people here and there, some friends. I wasn't the greatest person in the world growing up. So I try to do a lot of stuff with troubled kids. Mm-hmm. Try to make my, a lot of people, I've had a lot of people make influences on me throughout my lifetime. And it's because of those people I ended up where I am today. Plus I got a mom who lets me do anything. So
you want to give back to that community?
Oh, I'm giving back everything. I'm an old person trying to get in heaven. So that's my motivation.
No shame in that.
No.
Very much respect, actually. How do you feel about arcade games? Is there a point to bringing back something old, like how you have your 50-year-old game?
With the arcade games, I mean, they're a little more nowadays. You have to sign on, put your login, your password, have a credit card. I'm not a big fan of that. I like instant action where you can just click on something and play. But you got to always know where games started and where they've come from. Because basically everything is just someone else's idea with a little bit more of a a little bit of a spin on it.
So what's your spin on these games? What makes yours different than someone else that...
Well, you can already see the difference. The sound, the speakers, the lights, the graphics, having no limitations to be able to go and download whatever you want off the web. I mean, these games go almost as far as you want them to go. Having a trackball so you can play some of the older games,
Do you have any competitors?
There's a lot of people that build stuff out of the garage, but they haven't tried making a living out of it. And I don't really look at people as competitors. I think we're all people just making something a little better. These people who made these arcade games 30 years ago,
All I'm doing is just kind of making them a little fancier and make them being able to have them do more, you know. As you can see, I mean, it's above and beyond anything you've seen.
Definitely.
And I'm still waiting for other people to try to copy me, you know.
Try to spread the
It's not
tradition.
Easy. I mean, you got to know how to use lights. You got to know how to make the USB. You got to know how to build computers. You got to make them all work. I'm the only one that makes my own trackballs now.
And you learned all this yourself.
Yeah, fortunately. It's 10 years of work. A lot of people are like, man, I wish I had your job. Oh, you wouldn't have liked it 10 years ago.
So how did you get on your feet when you started? You left college, you started this business.
No, I've been out of school for a long time. I mean, I graduated as a teacher.
Right.
I couldn't teach the stuff I wanted to. It was too cutting edge for schools. And I just went on my own, started my own business. I always tell people I didn't know nothing. I went off my looks. No, I always like taking stuff apart, and I was always a good salesperson. But, you know, I've had my own business for 25, 30 years. You know, it's 96. I graduated college in 93.
The year I was born.
No, I'm the same. I mean, I'm getting old now, but I spend more money than I bring in. So you already see I have 9 more projects. I got TVs that haven't even been taken out of the package yet. And then trying to make things real simple. It sometimes when I walk in here, if I don't know what I was going to build, I'll end up somewhere else doing something else. You know. I really have to figure out what I'm going to do and make a plan for it. So I walk in this door, because you get there's so much stuff in here. You know, you can grab a robot, you can take it apart. I mean, anything that you can think of. I mean, we can start building it right here. I mean, you name it. You know, we can start doing the designs. We can start making a rough draft. I mean, I can make almost anything out of wood. I'd love to get into making it out of metal, but that, you know, that's, you know, when you're good at something, there's no reason for you to drop it and start on something else. You know, this is what I do. I'm not going to be able to change. You know, I loved working on cars, but I'm not going to build cars. I like working on houses. We got a nice house. It just comes to a point where more and more you're starting to hear about people your age, where your inspiration or your enthusiasm goes beyond your expertise. So you gotta be really aware of that. You gotta know what you can't do. And that's the definition of wisdom, knowing how stupid you are. Oh, I can't do that. I can't build the largest video game in the world. You know, well, with that attitude, where are you gonna get? You gotta try. And, you know, failure, it's just another step, you know, and people don't see that. And I got a lot of useless information I can share, because, you know, what's the difference between winning and losing? There's no difference, believe it or not. They both are things that deceive you. And basically what it is, it's stopping time. What happens when you lose? You get back up and get out there. What happens when you win? You get back up and you get out there. All they're doing is kind of deceiving you in time, right? When is everything over? When you die. And that's a lot of stuff that's a little bit bigger than you and me. You know? But have you ever heard anybody tell you that winning and losing is the same thing? It really is, right?
It's a learning process.
Right. And if you learn or you don't learn, that's where you have a problem. I'm not going to tell you how many times I did the same thing over and over again. I'm like, well, this isn't going anywhere. I got to change how I do this. Or you put more screws in your hand. So now you got me up on my soapbox. Change the subject.
That's okay. All right. Just making sure it's still recording. Did I ask you what the target age group was?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Yeah.
young, old. The only people we kind of have problems with if you're under 3 feet tall.
Why is that?
Well, because people can't reach the top. You know, when you're this tall, I mean, I can put you on a tool, like a stool here, mm-hmm. and you can sit on here and play. But on there, you have to walk up the stairs, and then someone has to kind of hold you up a little bit so you can still. But as long as you get your hands over the control panel, you can play something.
I heard you also make larger-sized quarters.
No, I based the whole thing off of the large quarters because I had no way of making money or making quarters that big. So when I found someone that made a giant quarter, then I made everything to scale around that. That was just a little... I got really lucky on that.
Mm-hmm. So there was no making of these quarters. They were already...
No.
Someone already made these large...
Here, and I'm going to give you one so you can take it with you. I bought like 100 of them. So. And you know what? I haven't been able to find them. But there, that's for you, brother.
Well, thank you very much.
Keep that. And then let me get you one of these. Let's see what this is. I know I had a whole bunch of them at the last show. Give you a nice one. So this is my little room. See, here's some of the technology. I got so much stuff. There you go. That one you can have.
So from the looks of you are a big fan of Marvel, Star Wars. So you still like enjoy the whole story of the video games.
Oh, I've been reading comic books since I mean a little kid. This is no big thing for me, but here, this I'll put right here for you, and you can have that.
Thank you very much.
And you know what? For everybody in your class. That would be kind of neat if you handed out a whole bunch of little cards with that picture, do you think, or no?
I think they would love that.
There we go. There you go, brother.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, here's all these different things. I mean, you know Thor, right?
Yes.
That's, you don't know
is that
who,
the hammer?
No, you don't know who Beta Ray Bill is, do you?
No, who's
that's
that?
Thor's adopted brother. You're going to hear about him in a couple years.
Is he coming out in the movies?
Yeah, that's him, that's his hammer. And I've got the original. Here's the original Thor hammer that they made look a little better.
Mm.
But anyway, I've got all kinds of stuff. This is Beta Ray Bill. That's Thor's brother, adopted. Good story. But there's your original Thor. This is the Thor Destroyer. I'm a big fan of Thor, but I also like Doctor Doom. Here's your Infinity Gauntlet. There's Mikey. But yeah, this is, you know, these are the differences between the computers. You know, they're all air-cooled. You know, they're all big fans.
And they're all, you built them all yourself.
Yep. And it's real easy to show people how to build those. And then I was going to go with a smaller dragon. Here's the pink trackball they got me.
That looks intense. Why did you have a problem with the pink one?
I didn't want pink. I needed blue. All my games are blue and... let's see what else I got in here. Yeah, not much more. Here, I almost broke that. Gosh, I got it. No, you know what this is, right?
Yeah, a lightsaber, right?
Yeah. Couldn't turn it on before.
Yeah, maybe we fixed it.
Yeah, but I'm into a lot of different things, as you can tell. Anything that I can get my hands on and mess around with, I love it.
Do you have any other hobbies outside of the video game
industry? I got too much.
Too much?
I need to start getting less hobbies. My wife says I have ADD, but it's just the way that I work. You know, I wouldn't be able to make something like this if I was able to think straight. You're crazy, I told her.
I could definitely relate on that.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable the stuff I got here. I've been looking for this right here. Oh, I can't believe it. It was right there. Excuse me while I use this sword. It's going to be Halloween. You know the Predators, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know the Predators. Is that the mask?
Yeah, that was going to be the... Actually, I was going to make a plaque for the wall. How was I put on the wall and put on here? Killed 2012. You know?
Like a deer head.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I don't know how much I spent. $60. I was looking for that.
Let's see which ones I haven't asked yet. How many games are on your machines?
They come with 250 games for the home version. The largest video game in the world has them all. You know, I think last time I had over like 4,800 games on it.
4,800.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, on my Xbox, I think I have another 200 games. My PlayStation, I have like 300. And then I have a PlayStation 1, 2, X. I mean, I stopped. It's a lot easier to download something that you want as opposed to going buying the cartridges, you know.
I mean, having so many games, does it cost a lot to download?
Oh, yeah. It's not even funny. I mean, I can show you all the different PlayStations I got, Xboxes. I don't even want to think about the money. Because every time I saw a game, I'm like, oh, I want that one. I'd buy that one. Oh, I want that one. I'd buy that one. Play it for a day and then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat because a lot of the games aren't out anymore. You know, some of them are hard to find.
Where do you find these games?
Oh, I mean, in the used rack. GameStop has traded in games. I always go in the $1.99 bin and I'll find some cool games.
And you upload them onto your computer, right? Oh, yeah. Or do you?
I always get the PC version, and then I know that if the PC version doesn't work, I have an Xbox, a PlayStation, or a Wii that I can hook up. I don't do that anymore. That was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Now I'm just, if they don't have a PC version, I don't want to even try to figure out how to configure it, you know.
How many times do you have to buy these games? Do you have to buy it once for every
cabinet? Well, like sometimes I'll buy 50 of one game, but now everything is available. You know, if not, you can load, you can jump on the internet. I give you a prepaid card for $100 and you can download $100 worth of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's through Steam. Like when Pac-Man came out, you can download it for $9. That new Pac-Man I showed you.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to go home and download it, it's $9. It might even be $5 now.
Was that originally for the PC?
Mm-hmm. When it first came out, I think it was 30.
You said that was this year?
September.
Or this year in September.
Oh, sorry.
Or last?
August. The year's starting to
It wasn't that long ago. I think they just came out with Championship Edition 2 in September last month. Or October, right? November.
Now it's November.
Right.
Right. Have you ever questioned your career choice?
Never.
Never?
No. Not anymore.
You said you studied to be a school teacher, right?
Yeah.
So how did you... You say you're a network engineer?
Well, I got into networking. You know, they don't teach the stuff that you learn. The only way you can do is by getting a server and a PC. You know, I learned all hands on it.
So you were... Totally sorry I'm asking this again, but just to be clear, you were all self-made after college. You never had a job.
Yeah, they don't anywhere. They don't teach the stuff that when I was
there. So did you have a job anywhere in between?
I mean, my whole life I've worked every job: pizza delivery, retail, Wendy's, Burger King. You know, that's why I think I enjoy working my own business. You know, if I want to make a lot of money, well, I got to work 80 hours this week. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, I think that's one of the gifts on this planet is being able to do whatever you want. I mean, Jake, you and I don't have to get up early tomorrow to go hunt for food for our tribe.
No, I'm glad we don't.
Yeah, and if we did, I mean, we'd have a lot less problems too, because we have one thing to do: find food. I think another thing is that everybody just takes this gift for granted. I mean, for me, I'm at the point now where every day is a gift, and I try to make the most out of everything, learn everything I can, you know. And then when you're all done and you go to the pearly gates, or you have to answer to somebody, can you say that you did everything you wanted to, or did you make a difference? Well, I still don't feel like I did, but, you know, I'm trying.
But at least you have time to think.
I don't like to think. Yeah, I don't want to think. I like to just come here and build stuff. I mean, if I was smart, I'd be making more money. But, you know, I told my wife that if I get enough money, I'll build a spaceship. You know?
Or at least you're not going down the typical 9-to-5 job.
Oh, my God.
Route.
I got paid a lot of money to do that. It lasted 3 months. One of my customers is like, come work for me. I'm like, I got my own business. You know, he's like, I'll pay you good. I'm like, what's good? He's like, I'll pay you 60. I'm like, that's not good. He's like, 80. I'm like, 90. He's like, 90. And I'm like, 100. He's like, 100. I'm like, all right. 90's good. You know, I worked for him for 6 months. And I'm like, I got to quit. This is crazy. You know, I redid this whole network. I did everything I could. And then I was bored. He was like, go. Just go. You know, I just love being able to work 3 days straight and then take off a day. Go get a project. Go buy all the stuff. Cut it and make it. You know. But, you know, you find out what you're good at and you do it. And I got lucky. I mean, you saw my failures. You're like, what the hell was that? I don't know. I had a bad day. That was the day I cut my finger off, you know.
Is there anything else interesting that you'd like to tell me about?
I'm doing a lot. My wife's a nurse. I have a bad back. I'm doing a lot of stuff with Pilates. I'm doing a lot of stuff with how the human body's supposed to work. It's pretty neat. You're a young kid, you don't have to worry about it. I played football. I beat myself up all the time. I got bad knees. I got a bad back. I got a lot of bad stuff. And I'm learning how your body works more. It's pretty neat. The human body's the neatest thing in the world. We think that for granted.
So... Not a very explored topic yet. Like, at the deepest level, we can guess what's there. But what's it called? Recently, My friend showed me a video of a TED Talk where they developed a camera that has a frame rate of 1/1,000,000,000 of a second. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You see light in slow motion. So then they started talking about the human body. And we could figure out something.
Oh my God. It's,
with that.
I mean, now they even have little cameras that they put in bugs. And they can just fly around. You know, and it can map out the whole building.
Mm-hmm.
Those 3D cameras that go in the cars. So, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, this is the newest technology for, come on. I mean, that's the office right now. Come on. Let's get a good one in here. Have you ever heard of the Evil Olive?
No, I haven't.
Downtown. Well, I did. I mean, there's their camera system that's downtown right now. I mean, that's as clear as day. We can zoom in with the cameras. You know, that's downtown. I have cameras that you can zoom in and zoom out. I try to do one or two, camera systems for people. It's fun. There's a lot to it. Figuring out how this stuff works. There's not a lot of people that can articulate how to make something simple. You know, a young kid like yourself would be like, well, it's the greatest, but, you know. But figuring out something, you know, I break a lot of stuff. And that's how I know how well it's made. Breaking something and putting it back together, that's different. And when I took this unit apart, piece by piece, and brought it downstairs so that I couldn't fit it into the guy's basement, that was pretty neat. Because when I put it all back together, I came up with like 4 ideas on how to make it better.
So it didn't fit in someone's basement?
Well, I couldn't get it down the basement because it went down, and then it turned, and then it came down.
Ah.
And I'm like, no wonder you don't have any furniture down here. He's like, no. Hey, what the hell were you thinking? You should have got the little game because I wanted the big one.
So you had to take that apart?
6 hours. Took the whole thing apart, took it downstairs piece by piece.
That must have been annoying.
Oh my God, it was a horrible day. It was not fun. You know, and I've hand-delivered every one of these machines.
Hand-delivered?
Yeah, every single one of them. I've delivered them myself, you know, rolled them in, took them in sideways. I mean, I'm really good at moving these things. That's why I make them smaller and lighter.
What was the farthest you've ever gone delivering an arcade game?
I've been to New York, I've been to Florida, Colorado.
All the way to Colorado and Florida?
I had the vice president of Honda Motorcycles call me for Christmas. Just, can you get me one for Christmas Eve? I'm like, I'm on the way. It was 18 hours out there, delivered it, came back. That was pretty neat. And then my oldest is in Seattle right now. She works for Microsoft.
So there is still something that they learned from.
Well, we're going to be, she doesn't know. She's writing the code. It's a lot different than installing it and playing games on it, you know, and rewriting Internet Explorer and all the rest of that bullshit.
But still there was some inspiration from you. No? Not at all? Well, what about the rest of the girls?
The second youngest, second oldest, she's like me. She's all over the place. Drives me crazy. You know, every job she goes through, doesn't know what she wants to be. You know, and I just call her Junior. So mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, Junior, what cuckoo thing are you going to do today? She's like, I don't know. What are you going to do? So I'm like, just fly. You know, that's how you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one I'm betting on everything. She's going to be the big, you know, the oldest makes a shitload of money. But she's the one that I'm double downing on. I know that she's going to, when she figures out whatever the hell that is, you know, she's gonna do some damage. The other two are just, I just talked to them like they're, you know, but our youngest, she's 15. I can't even talk to her without making her upset.
And then our other one is she loves school. She loves reading. And she loves politics. So I hate that.
How do you see the future of video games going along?
Right now with the future of video games, you and I talked a little bit about that, that they're getting too realistic. You don't want to drive your car and then go drive your car for 8 more hours. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit that needs to almost come back a little bit. We're getting to the point where it's almost too real, and we need that romanticism. We need smoke and mirrors. You know, I think we're at a pinnacle where it's getting a little crazy. And I know you're going to ask me about the 3D technology. You know, we live in 3D. I don't need to play in 3D. You know, once again, we're at that point where I got a feeling that, you know, and our oldest is playing around with that 3D technology. Have you seen it at all or no?
On the TV screens?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Or holograms.
Well, holograms. Where you put those glasses on, and then the room, they have spaceships coming out of the walls, and you put the computer in, and it just maps out the room, and then it puts.
Right.
The spaceship, have you played any of those?
The Oculus Rift?
Yeah.
I haven't personally played it, but I'm a big fan of video editing, so I've been paying attention to 360 cameras. The ones you could, you know, you take the video, you look around, whatever the video is, surfing, skydiving, whatever it is, I like looking at those things. It's probably similar to the Oculus Rift.
Unbelievable. I mean, she worked on it. She actually brought one home.
An Oculus Rift.
And set it up in her living room, and her and her boyfriend just played it. Said it was the neatest thing in the world. But who the hell's going to spend $8,000 on something like that for your house? You know, and there's two games. That's where it starts. I mean, I don't know what it's going for now, but she was just telling me about it, and then I read up on it. I'm like, shit.
You can use your phone now.
Right.
There's like a piece. I'm sure it's not anywhere near $8,000.
Well, and I know anymore. That, you know, it's all going to come down to be real inexpensive, you know, especially with your phone. I know that they make them so it plugs. But you can't tell me. And that's another thing, too. I'm starting to see technology. Who knows what all these waves are doing to us? I mean, we have like 9 signals we're projecting in here right now. And wireless, 3G, 5G, that's something we'll talk about one of these days, because I think that's all having an effect on us.
I mean, no one's been exposed to it long enough.
Well, we have been.
Are there some serious effects coming from that?
And they're all being hidden. And then that last iPhone that they made, and their Samsung that they made in waterproof, they made it waterproof for a reason.
Why is that?
Because it's blocking the waves that were coming out towards us. But they said it was waterproof. That was what they said it was. But they're actually making the insides to block the rays from affecting us and the radiation from the batteries. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Makes sense. None of that's happening with the arcade cabinets, is it?
No. And if it was, I couldn't tell you about that. We're just starting to keep going.
Running out of questions here.
Well, I think it's going good, right?
Yeah, I think it's going very well.
Yeah, I think we got the second time around was even better. Plus, you know, when you can almost put together half my answers anyway.
Yeah.
By writing them out. And then, and if you guys want me to come out and talk, I'll talk to the players.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll definitely put that down.
All right, and then I'll put together a little I'll send you some videos. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that I didn't even know about. And then that shipping wars, the same people that make Storage Wars. Have you seen those?
Storage Wars?
Yeah. Or Shipping Wars?
No, what is that?
All right, it was a TV show. I was on it 2 years ago. And they really made me look like an idiot. But the main character, the main guy, died right after he filmed our episode. So, in a massive heart attack. So that episode was put on hold for a year. It's pretty neat.
Was that a reality TV show?
And nothing was real in it. Everything was fake.
And you can see every time I turn my head is when I talked. And they do the, I mean, it was unbelievable. They did the voiceovers. They took my words and made them sound different. Nothing even happened on that show that was real. It was all made up. Me and him got along really good. They actually tried to make us fight.
Oh, like argue?
Yeah.
And whatnot?
Yeah.
Like they do in some of those TV shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got along really good. He actually, he really helped me take apart the video game and deliver it, which was kind of neat. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, I got some neat little projects I'm starting on, and always in January is when I'm off, so you'll see me just start kind of putting stuff together and messing around with it. Those robots are another thing we'll talk about another time. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the greatest things in the world. I met that guy right before he was making those robots. You've seen those everywhere, right?
I feel like a long time ago.
Yeah, those came out in 98. He was just selling for $1,000 a piece, and then he had doing a deal with Best Buy and selling them for $99, and they just, anyway. Next question. Oh, there's that other graph. Wait till I show you this. I don't even know what the hell to do with this other stuff.
That's the other rep.
Yeah. Boy, that's gotta blind you.
I have a couple folders similar to that. That's got that holographic effect with the ball.
That would just make you sick playing the video game.
As long as you play it in a dark room.
Well, if you do that, you're really gonna have problems with your eyes. I've done that too. And I got a magic box of stuff. And then that company, there we go. There's all the different patterns that they make. And the one that I really liked was the Bronco Black. That's what I was going to make the chairs out of. And I actually did make a snakeskin customer. A guy bought it from me right away.
You made it before you...
He bought it right off the show. I go, it's not for sale. He goes, I'll give you $3,000 right now. I'm like, it's not for sale. He's like, I'll give you $5,000. I'm like, sold. There's the...
French alligator.
That is pretty crazy. But see, you just can't... It's like, you ever see that chopper show where they make the motorcycle?
I've seen the one where
American Chopper or whatever.
I've seen the one with the cars...
Well, the chopper people, all they did was make the same motorcycle over and over again and just made a different color.
Right.
And I'm like, boy, this show's boring. So whenever I make a different video game and I put something on there, it has to be, you know, it has to be completely different. That's the one I like.
Black Puma?
Yeah. And if I did that chair in Black Puma, that would be a lot nicer. But I got to buy 500 feet of that.
500 feet for one arcade game?
No, they won't sell me anything.
It has to be less than 500?
Yeah. That one's kind of neat too, but if you give people too many options, it really starts getting crazy.
I saw you had those older games in the back. Star Trek?
Yeah.
Where are your plans for that? For those games?
Oh, I'm just going to... Those are ones that I will go ahead and I will...
renovate.
Yeah, I used to be really good at restoring them, and that's one of the things I want to do. And then just some of the neater things that a lot of people don't. No, I have these things around here. Well, I'll have to look for them. But I had some actual Iron Man hands that when you can do the blast. And everything. It was neat.
And they were at the store for a little while, and they just sold out. But I was going to show you, when you put them on, you have a pulse arrays, and you just lift your arms up, and they just fit right on your hand. It's pretty neat. Anyway.
So what other collector items do you have?
Oh, I've got, I mean, I've got so much stuff. The stuff I have upstairs is like my personal collection that my, you know, my wife says, like, as long as you don't bring anything home, you can do whatever you want. But here, see, this is basically, you know, this is everything right here.
PC games?
Yeah. I mean, see, everyone's come out with their own. You know, I haven't even opened them yet.
And these are just to collect.
No, this is what comes on the system. When you buy a system from me, you get...
But you haven't opened these, right?
Well, I've got probably 50 to 100 of these. I got like 70 of those, and then these are a new one that just came out. So yeah. it's all, you know, everyone goes, oh, you're doing emulators that are illegal. I'm like, I wouldn't be telling you anyway, but no, I mean...
Right.
How are you going to make a business out of that, you know? And that has been, there's been a lot of legal issues with that. The big companies like Golden Tee and everybody else. You know, I've sat down with them and said, hey, let's put a computer, let's make a system. Oh, we're not going to do that. Well, I am. How are you going to do that? And then, you know, they all, anybody that comes up with a better idea than you is automatically your enemy.
So how much memory do you have on one of these?
There's over 200 when you install the games on there. You know?
Like?
Gigabyte.
200 gigabyte, okay.
Yeah, I'm not over. I mean, I put 1 terabyte Western Digital Black Drive in there. But I just picked up today. I'm going with, they finally got the price down. On the SD 240 gigabyte.
That was a solid state drive?
Yep. So now I'm going to start doing a solid state. But you know that those don't last forever, right?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
How long do they last?
We don't know yet.
Well,
let me do a kitty check.
We had a kitty house from a...
Yeah, and then this was an old video game. Where the heck is number 2? Yeah, you're right up on the top. Oh, sorry, it woke you up.
You ever thought of repurposing your arcade cabinets for something else?
Yeah. They're all brand new. I mean, I make them from scratch. So they're, you know, I don't know what else.
But like how you made the kitty house... I don't know, maybe like an aquarium or something.
Yeah, you know what? Another good question. Yeah, I'm making an entertainment center now for the house. It's going to have subwoofer in it, the tweeters, just like this. It'll have all the same things, except that it'll all be built in. It's going to be a pretty neat thing, if I have time. Oh, wow, I was wondering what that noise was. That thing came down over there. Marquee. You know, if you have any other questions on anything, you have my cell phone number. That's why I didn't know why you weren't calling me of it. You know? I thought maybe they weren't going to let you.
Yeah, that's for that. I'm all out of questions. I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, and then the big one that, you know, is that still recording?
Yeah.
Okay, the, you know, is how I'm changing the industry. And that's basically right. Now you, with the arcades closing, we make the arcade for the home. And that is just upsetting everybody. Mm-hmm. Because now these people who are the fad, and they're putting games that are 30 years old out to play, and people are, you know, they're breaking, and some of them don't work. They don't like that because I'm taking money right out of their pocket. But if you can enjoy it in your home, you're allowed to do whatever you want, you know? Plus, these things are nothing like anything you've seen.
Have you ever thought of opening your own arcade?
I did. I got really close. And I was going to use these cabinets.
Mm-hmm. And then they were all going to be plugged into a main thing where, you know, what game you want to play, go to number 72. Your game will be up there.
Okay.
And then if you want them all to be Pac-Man and have a tournament, all the games would be Pac-Man.
Would you have them coin-operated
at that point? No, because you would just have it at the door. You pay one fee, and that would be it. And then whatever games we didn't have, you know, I'd have an Xbox, but it would all be plugged in behind the counter. Mm-hmm. And then you just use a switch box. Number 73 is ready for you, and you go up to the game, and then Call of Duty is there. You know.
Are there, do you know of any, like, how do you call it, like, gatherings, like a Pac-Man tournament?
No.
Is there anything like that going on around here?
No. I mean, they're only when they're sponsored by Xbox or PlayStation. You know.
You think something like that might hit off?
I mean, that's a very specific group of people.
I mean, there's a lot of gamers out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a ton, but getting them all together and give you money.
To just stick to your men cave.
Well, yeah, and I think this is a good niche for now.
All right. Well, if there's...
Oh, there's more. I'll come up with it, but I'm getting tired too, probably.
Yeah.
Let me just hit this light and I'll walk out with you. I'll show you my little smart car. And this is basically where I pull everything in and I do all my work here. And then when I'm all done, it all goes up where the tools go underneath, mm-hmm. you know.
And this is it from this wall to that wall over there. That's your...
Yeah, it's not really a showroom. Yeah, me and my wife stayed here for 2 weeks once when they were working on her house. It's crazy.
This is your hot tub?
Yeah. I still haven't been able to put it together. It's probably going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
What else I got? Yeah, that's going to be the biggest iPad. I was going to turn it sideways and make it a touch. And then... Yeah, we'll see, because like I said, Christmas is coming up, and it's going to get busy real quick. And this is where I make 80% of my money during the Christmas season.
How long does it take you to prepare for the Christmas season?
Oh, it takes me a month. I mean, I'm going to be working 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after I get these put together, you know, I'm going to build another 5 of these, and then I do another 25 of these. This is my bestseller. You know, it's real small.
So you make more multiples.
Oh yeah, those are a pattern, and then this one is just a prototype that I just made.
And you're planning on making more of those.
Well, I want to sell this idea to like Alienware.
Okay.
You know, I make a single player small one too, but in 10 years. You know, this one just pushes that one. You know, no one's going to buy a one single player for $2,000 when you can get $500 more to get the dual player.
Right.
And then, that's about it. Really good questions. I'm going to go back and I'm going to email you the 4 really good questions you had that no one's asked me, and I've been interviewed by about 30 people.
I don't do this for a living.
Yeah, but that just shows you.